So, good morning once again. Yeah. Guten Tag. That's the limit of my German, unless you count Schweinhund. Yeah, and Gesundheit. There you go. And Poltergeist, I guess. Right. Thanks to Steven Spielberg, I know a little bit of German. Noisy ghost. Yeah. So. So I had Tammy print up my notes for me. And before I sent them out, I had to make a larger font for my notes because I broke my glasses this week. Yeah, that's all right. I'm due for another appointment to go in and have the ocular, yeah, to have the eyeballs checked out, you know, and when they do that, the little drops in the eyes and one or two. Three or four. Is this one better? Or is that one better? This one better? Why don't they just give you that thing to wear out? You know? And just be walking around. And you could flip them as you need them. You know? So, yeah. I think anybody could be a... Never mind, I won't go in there. So, life's not fair. Life is not fair. How many times, okay, for you parents in here, if you had a dollar for every time you heard one of your kids say, life's not fair, how many of you would be rich? I mean, you would just be beyond your wildest dream. Okay, how many of you at one time, when you, maybe you were teenagers, how many of you ever said, it's not fair, that's not fair? Okay, you know, I remember when I was a kid saying, I wanted to go to a concert. And, you know, okay, well, you can go, I guess. Where is it? Los Angeles. What? I'm in high school, right? Living in Las Vegas. There's a concert going on in Los Angeles. And I don't remember even who it was at that time. But I'm 16. And I asked Mom, well, all my friends are going. No. That's not fair. They get to go. And when I said it's not fair, what do you think their response was? Life's not fair. Get used to it. Life's not fair. And in many respects, that is true. You know, we can look at it and we can say, you know, there are instances where we can look at our life and we can see that the hand that we're dealt or something that happens, something comes up, and we can say, life's not fair. But this morning, I'm going to present this idea to you that in a lot of respects, it is fair. And life is fair from this one viewpoint. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, he said, doesn't the Father allow the sun to rise on the good and the evil? Jesus continues and says, doesn't the rain fall on the just and the unjust? So there are times of sun and there's times of rain. There's times of nice warmth or heat, and there's times of a gentle rain or a torrential downpour. Life, by and large, is pretty fair. It's not always convenient. Like, unless you own a tire store, there is no convenient time to get a flat tire, right? If you own a tire store, oh, yeah, every one of us, yeah, we get a flat. Oh, that's fine. Come on in. I got a tire store. Come on down to Keith's Tires, and I'll fix your flat, or I'll get you a new tire on there. But when is it convenient? You know, there's no convenient time to lose a family member or a friend. There is no convenient time. You know, well, it would have been better if that miniseries wasn't starting tonight. You know, there's no convenient time for death. There's no convenient time for disease. But there is a time for every purpose. Open up your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And this guy left his Bible. So I need to, if you've got your PDA, your iTouch, your iPad, or iPod, or any other kind of thing. Now I got to wait for this thing to load up so I can go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, or I could just recite what I know from memory, or I could ask someone else to read it How about that? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. This is a long passage, 1 through 15. Anybody willing? Please. A lot of us might recognize that passage of scripture from the song, the birds, turn, turn, turn. And I thought they were talking about a kind of bird when they said turn, 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 because that's a turn is a kind of a bird, right? But to everything, every purpose under heaven, there's a season. There's a time to gather stones together. There's a time to cast stones away. There's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time for war and a time for peace. There's a time for everything. And this past month, June 12th, I celebrated my 46th birthday. And it's kind of significant for me in a couple of respects. Sunday morning, June 12th, was the first morning that Tammy and I woke up after having moved. We moved from a house that we had been in for the past 9 years, and most of our stuff, some people came and helped us. We put it in the storage over there on J. Clyde and 64. And then we moved into this house that's Jeff Delzer's place. And he's let us take up a couple of rooms in there and put my 65 Chevy pickup in his garage. And our cats are there, and a lot of our stuff is strewn about the place. And Jeff's been very hospitable in allowing us to stay for an indeterminate period of time while we kind of regather, recollect our thoughts and get our bearings straight, get our direction once again. And but that Sunday morning, June 12th, 2011, Tam and I had to go over to the CVS pharmacy to buy a bag of cat food. Because we still had a few things in the old house, and one of those things was all the cat food. And, you know, cats aren't going to be happy unless they have something to eat. So we headed out the door and went over to the CVS, and I waited in the blazer while Tammy went inside because drugstores make me nervous. I waited out there, and I looked down at the little clock on the console, and it said 7:33 a.m. And that was significant to me because my time of birth in Chicago, which is a two-hour time difference, was 5:33 a.m. And I looked down at the clock, and it said 7:33. And, you know, barring the tilt of the Earth's axis and, you know, spring forward, fall back, and, you know, whether or not the time is correct on that clock or not, That was significant to me, thinking 5:33 a.m., it's a two-hour time difference. 46 years ago, I was being born. what's so significant about sitting in front of a CVS pharmacy while your wife goes in to buy cat food for a couple of little cats? This is ridiculous. Nothing's going on. What do I have? I'm living in a borrowed house. Everything that we own, most everything we own, is in a storage unit. Do we really need it? What was I doing 46 years ago? I came into this world with absolutely nothing. No material possessions whatsoever that were not being provided for me. Some of you know the story that my mother almost lost her life in giving me birth. She began to hemorrhage. There was some difficulty in the birth process, and they had to do the C-section, which is kind of common, not so common, you know. But it's just one of those things. And I won't belabor telling a story about being born. That's funny. I won't belabor, you know, all the details because I don't remember them. I was very young. You know, I was kind of small. But everything that I had was provided for me by Mom and Dad. The family, any friends that I might have were theirs. Even telling you the story about David, his brother Jim, and their family. I didn't have anything. And I thought, you know, here I am 46 years later, sitting in this trailblazer, waiting for a bag of cat food, but, you know, that Tammy's bringing out. There's really no difference in where we are right now and what's going on. And then I began to think about this is our 10th anniversary. This very month right now, this July, was our first time coming to the Peninsula Vineyard. We moved from Las Vegas, Nevada in June of 2001. We loaded up the truck and we moved to Newport News. And we came with two different cats. But we loaded almost everything up. There were a lot of things. I invited the guys that I worked with to come over to the place that we were staying. And they came over and picked over a lot of the things that we were getting rid of, and which we were happy to do. Saying we didn't need to take everything. And so we came out here in June of 2001, and not knowing what to expect. We came with a certain idea, a certain plan. You know, here's why we were coming. We were coming because I was going to work for my then father-in-law. Tammy was going to work for her mom, and things were going to be different. And after about 3 months, boy, oh boy, was that rough on me. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to go find me a different job because this just isn't working out. I can't work under these conditions. Life's not fair, you know. And so I went back to doing what I know, what I've done the most, and that's landscaping. And I hopped around from several jobs, went to a few different places, and stayed 2 days here and 3 days there and a month over here, and pointed out all their faults and flaws, and then left. Went to another job. And there's a time for everything. And over the last, what's it been, Tammy, about over a year, when Gwen began to lose her house and then the whole situation with the one we were living in, we thought we were going to be able to keep it, and then through a series of events, we wound up losing that house and found ourselves in the place that we're at right now. The Lord has provided. One thing that I've learned is that I really am what the Bible talks about, and I think we all need to be on different levels. We're nomads. We're sojourners. We're pilgrims. We're visitors. Thinking about this morning, the old Larry Norman song, the great-great-grandfather of Christian rock and roll, back in the 70s wrote a song. Was it the American Novel? I think. I can't remember the title of the song, but the Great American Novel. He said, What a mess the world is in. I wonder who began it. Don't ask me. I'm only visiting this planet. And trying to have that attitude of, you know, I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Yeah, it's important. You know, the Time Magazine article that asked the question, is the U.S. Constitution still important? Is it still relevant? Yeah, it is. But as a disciple of Jesus Christ, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, I'm under a greater law. I'm under a greater authority. I'm only visiting this world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And that's for all of us who are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for all of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, that we to have our focus fixed on him, the author and finisher of our faith, that what he desires, what he wants, his law, his rule, is really what matters. And I've said this before, you know, what is his law? Love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy. That's what it's all about. You know, really, it's just love. All you need is love. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter talks about us being pilgrims. And I always think about John Wayne when I hear that, you know, pilgrim. Other versions of the Bible use the word sojourner. And, you know, Abraham sojourned in the land of his inheritance. And to be a sojourner means we're on a journey. We're not just stagnant. We're not just stayed. We're not just in this one place, but we're on a journey. We're actually going from point A to point B, and we get to see a lot of neat stuff along the way. And while we take that journey, sometimes there's stuff that gets in the way. Sometimes there's things that happen. And in June 2011, like I said, Tammy and I moved across town. We went from Denby, a place that we knew, that we loved. You know, Newport News Park was right across the road. All of our friends were right across on the other side of the tracks. Yeah, we used to hang out on the other side of the tracks. So I don't know who was on the wrong side. I think it was you guys. Yeah, you guys were on the wrong side of the tracks. So now we're still on the same side of the tracks. I don't know how that worked out. We are. That's really wild. We're still on the same side of the tracks. So that's the good side. Anyway, that's another one of those squirrel moments. I'm just thinking about that. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about. But in, you know, we were familiar. You know, how long does it take for me to get up in the morning, to get ready? What time do I have to leave by to miss all the bad traffic so I can get to work? And then how many routes do I have, or routes, if you prefer, to get home, you know, if 64 is backed up. And, you know, all these different things. And we knew where all the different restaurants were and the fast food places, all the stores, all the shops. And we knew all the ins and outs, you know, the back ways in, the back ways out, and how to get from here to there. And so now here we are. I mean, it's not like we moved into a whole new city, but we moved across town. And guess what? It's different. You can't get there. You have to go, you know, to get to where we used to go. We have to drive to our old house and then leave from there to get to the places we know. Because that's how the GPS is set. You know, so no. But recalculating, I hate that. I turned her off. I said, I can't listen to you anymore. Because she'd be like, turn right, turn right, turn right. You idiot, why are you going this far? And I'd be like, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And then we'd sit, you know, I'd pull over, and we would talk for, you know, a while. And, you know, finally I just figured out how to lower her voice. And so now she doesn't say anything. She doesn't recalculate. Well, maybe she does, but I can't hear her, you know. Remember when you used to have to use maps? Okay, never mind. And a compass and a sextant and look up at the stars and, you know, where are we going? That was a while. Yeah, exactly. So things are different, you know. Things are just, stuff's not where it's supposed to be. And I'm going to put this out there. Some of you know this about me, and some of you are going to hear it for the first time. I have some of that CDO, you know. Some of you call it OCD, but I have to have the letters in the right order. Like one of those things that I do, I'm a counter, not like in a bathroom or a kitchen or anything like that, but I count things. I make lists. I'm nowhere near as bad as Monk, okay, for those of you that know the show, but I'm pretty bad. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff that I do. And like my pills, I have you know, medicine that I have to take. I've got some prescribed things, and then I have my over-the-counter supplements. And for the last several years that I've been taking these things, there's a particular order that I have to take them out of the bottles and put them in my little daily planner. Okay? And they've always been, you know, on the kitchen counter, you know, in our old place. They were always there, and here's this, and I could do it blindfolded because I know where it's at. And I'm done. In the last 2 weeks, these pills that I take have been moved 14 different times. It's driving me crazy. In fact, I'm losing my hair. It's driving me crazy going back and forth and doing this stuff. Things are different. You know, I had to ask Tammy, which toothbrush is mine? I didn't know which toothbrush was mine. And because mine is always the purple one. But she made it the green one. What? That's ridiculous. When you have this, you know, I can't use it. And I can't use yours because those have germs. And I'm a germaphobe, you know. I can't handle that. So just, so I've been, never mind. But things are different. You know, where's the coffee cups? Where's the spoons? Where are the scissors? Where in the heck are the scissors? Where is this? Where are my socks, Tammy? Where in the hell are my socks? You know, where are my shoes? I can't find my shoes. I know everything is in a different place. And then how do I get to work? How do I get to work? Okay, well, let's see. This is different. You know, it's driving me nuts. It really is. Well, never mind. I won't go there either. But things are different. The second time that Tam and I were privileged to be able to go to France on the missions trip with Pastor Don, Cheryl went on that trip. Amelia went on that trip. I don't remember who else. Tammy was there. Yeah, I remember that. But we had a motto. There were two vans, and I don't remember how many people, but we had some people from other churches that were there. And the motto was Semper Gumby. And we took that to mean always flexible. And so in our van, we had the little character Pokey, you know, the little horse, the little orange horse. And then in Pastor Don's van, they had the Gumby. And, you know, so we had Gumby and Pokey. And which makes me think of Eddie Murphy, but anyway. Always flexible. And in our walk with Jesus Christ, we have to learn how to be flexible. And to be able to, as REO Speedwagon said famously, to roll with the changes. You know, we have to be able to bend in the wind. There's a song that Paul McCartney came out with in the last 2 years. I think it might have been on his Fireman album or on Memory Almost Full, about the willow. This little willow tree, you know, you're going to grow, and the wind is going to come, and it's going to bend you, but it's not going to break you. And it's a beautiful picture of our life and our heart and the challenges that we face, the different challenges that go on. And so as change comes, as difficulties present themselves, remember what Jesus told the disciples, in the world you will have tribulation, you're going to have trials. And I don't like to use those words, trials and tribulations, you know, because it sounds too archaic to me, those words, but it just basically means trouble. There's bound to come some trouble to this life. There's going to be the flat tires. There's going to be, you know, getting everything ready to have a bowl of cereal for breakfast and you go and there's no milk. You know, there's going to be those things that come up, the diagnosis, the death, just the stuff of life that goes on, the difficulties. And, you know, those of you those of you who are a little bit older than I, you know, you've already experienced a lot of that stuff. And, you know, we've got to take the good with the bad. You know, we've got to take with the good with the bad, and we've got to roll with the changes. We've got to, you know, be flexible. Just be willing to adapt. You know, adaptability is one of the keys of life, being able to change and adapt, you know, on the fly as we go, as we move along. And those kinds of things always present new opportunities. You know, we have a clean slate, as it were. You know, Tammy and I are in a brand new place. We don't know what tomorrow holds. To be honest with you, we didn't know what tomorrow held 2 weeks ago. You know, we don't know what tomorrow holds for the next several tomorrows. You just don't know what's going to happen. We can try to predict. You know, as Tom Caldwell talked last week about, you know, camping, saying that Jesus was coming back. You know, camping made that declaration that Jesus was coming back in May, and then now he's recanted and said, no, he's coming back in, what is it, October 12th. And, you know, that's not the issue. The important thing is to realize, yeah, he is coming back. He's coming back. Jesus said, I'll return. And then the angel made the declaration that said, in the same way that you saw him leave, he's going to come back. He's going to set his feet upon the Mount of Olives, and the mountain's going to split in two, and there's going to be the new heaven and the new earth, and his kingdom's going to be set up, and he's going to reign. That's all we need to care about. Not, well, when are you coming? When are you coming? Why? You got to clean something up? You know, just, well, as a matter of fact, there's a lot I got to get done before he shows up. But there's a lot of opportunities that are presenting themselves. Some of you may not be aware, but Tammy and her mom, Friday, turned in the keys for gift baskets, unique. And, you know, it was a nice venture. It was a great opportunity when it came, and they tried their best. But then life gets in the way sometimes. You know, Tammy's grandmother with Alzheimer's and the situation there, and then the having to move, and just the different things that pop up like weeds. And so there's new opportunities, things that we're weighing out, and we're asking, Lord, what's next? What's the next step? What direction do you want us to go in? We just want to be, you know, the wind blows and the Holy Spirit's like the wind. We don't know where he's going or what he's doing next. So we just want to have our sails open and be willing to be moved by his wind. Where do you want us to go? What do you want us to do? What's next? And so taking those life inventories, you know, looking, checking the heart, checking the head, and saying, you know, what's in here? What have you given us? You know, the Bible says that the Lord has given us the ability to create wealth. You know, he's given us, for each one of us, he's given us the ability to work and to earn the gifts and the talents that we all have. He's provided those. And so to take measurement, and I'm taking stock in what some of you have said. We had dinner one night with David and Leanne, and they just shared their heart with us. About what they saw and what was possible. And I've taken a lot of that into consideration in thinking about the next step. And so just, you know, as we pray for you about various things that you allow us to know about, you know, as Tam and I pray for you guys, pray for us for direction, for wisdom, and just the willingness, the boldness to step forth and do what's being called. I'm going to look at Philippians chapter 4. So if you go to Philippians chapter 4, which is found in the letter to the Philippians that Paul wrote. Oh, there we go. That's pretty cool. It opened right to it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Paul says, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I've talked about this before. Contentment is not something where the Lord stretches out his hands and places them on you and says, you now have received the gift of contentment. It's not something that we're born with. Some of us may be a little bit more contented than others because of our personalities, because of our wiring and what have you. But Paul says, I have learned to be content. I've learned, which means there was probably a period in his life where life's not fair. Could you imagine Paul as a little boy, you know, telling his mom, life's not fair. You know, I wanted to go and see the, you know, whatever. Life's not fair. Paul learned to be content. And I think that's one of those things that the Lord has been teaching me through a lot of this since June 12th, 1965 until June 12th, 2011. Learning contentment. Learning to be content in plenty when it's seemingly that, you know, the cash is falling from the skies and we can do no wrong. And then those times when it's top ramen in a borrowed house or living in an old tack house behind somebody else's home. Some of you know that story. We, at one point in Las Vegas, we lived in an old tack house, an old feed barn that was behind our friend's house. It was about as big as Tammy's office upstairs, smaller than our nursery, if you've been in there, a little bit larger than the handicap bathroom. Serious, that was as big as the house was. It had a little stove, had a little sink, small bathroom, and I mean, it was tiny. Any time, like being in prison. But it was kind of one of the best places we ever stayed at during our whole marriage. You know, Tammy and I got really, really close in that place because we had no other choice. There was no, I didn't have a man cave. You know, I didn't have a place to go and hide, and there was no garage, nothing like that. But we stayed there for what, 2 years, I think? Yeah, it was about 2 years. And, so we've been in those places of having plenty, having more than enough, and being able to bless other people. And then we've been in that place of going without and learning to be content, learning. And my hope and my prayer is that Tammy and I, as we go through this, that people that we know can learn as well. They can see what we're going through and how we come through it. And they can learn, just as we do, as we observe your life and see how you guys live and other people, as we follow your example. And it's kind of neat how all that stuff works together. You know, it's like as I was praying for my friend David this morning and thinking about his wife, I was just reminded about how similar that is to another couple here this morning in some respects. And just, you know, seeing their strength and their courage under fire. As I was sharing the idea for today with Tammy a couple weeks ago after the birthday thing, she said that she was reminded of the scripture that Jesus said. It was back when... after Peter had denied Christ and just before his reinstatement, or actually during the reinstatement, when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Y'all remember that story? You know, Peter had denied Jesus those three times. You know, Jesus said, Peter says, there's no way I'm going to leave you. There's no way I'm going to desert you. I'm with you through thick and thin. I'm stuck like glue to you, Jesus. There's nothing going to turn me. And then Jesus said, well, you know what? I tell you the truth. Before the rooster crows, you're going to leave me. You're going to turn and walk away, buddy. And what happened? You know, Peter walked away. He denied him. He denied him three times. One time he was cursing, and he's like, I don't even know the guy. Are you kidding me? I've never seen him before in my life. I wasn't with him. Denied him three times. And then the rooster crows, and, you know, Peter's like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe it. And then the whole the crucifixion happens, death, burial, resurrection. Peter goes back to what he knows. He goes back there. Yeah, he goes back to go fishing. And during the trial, Peter was there warming himself by the fire, right? You know that story? He's warming himself by the fire. And you know Jesus can see it. He's like, there he is. Yeah, he's over there. Hope he's enjoying that fire. Hope he's enjoying that heat. Jesus isn't really like that. But then later on, there's Peter out there on the beach cooking some fish that he'd caught. It says Peter's there, and Jesus comes up, and Jesus says, hey, Peter, give me some of the fish. Let me have some of the fish that you caught. And Peter's there, and they sit down next to the fire. I'm just imagining this. And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And you know the story. Lord, you know I love you. And you know the Greek, right? The Greek words, you know, the agape. And, you know, Jesus says, do you agape me? Do you love me with all your heart? Will you die for me? Will you give it all up? Do you have a God kind of love for me? And Peter says, well, you know, I phileo you, right? I've got a phileo, a brotherly love for you. And that happens three times. The last time Jesus confronts and says, well, do you really have a brotherly love for me? Do you even love me that much? And Peter's kind of devastated, you know, like, Lord, you know all things. You know what I'm capable of. You saw me. I denied you. You know, I talk a good talk, but when it gets right down to it, I got weak ankles. I can't bring it. I can talk about it, but I don't have the fight in me. And all that Jesus said was, feed my sheep. Oh, okay. So I don't have to fight? No, just feed my sheep. Just take care of the flock. And then Jesus said these words. He says, when you were young, you dressed yourself. You fed yourself. You did what you wanted to do. He said, but when you are older, someone else will dress you. Someone else will feed you. Someone else will lead you where you do not want to go. And it says that Jesus told him those things because he was telling Peter the kind of death he was going to die. And as Tam and I talked about that story, it was more about not how we're going to go off this rock, not how we're going to die, but it was more about as we get older, we become more acceptable or accepting of Holy Spirit and what he wants to do. We become more yielded to the Father. We stop dressing ourselves, and we allow him to clothe us. We stop being concerned with what we eat and what we drink, and we allow him to feed us. We become less concerned about what neighborhood we're going to live in, how much money we're going to make, what kind of car we're going to drive. And we allow him to take care of those things, to learn to be content. And we allow him to lead us to a place we may not want to go. It's just being willing. It's being flexible. Semper Gumby. Always flexible. Being in that place of adaptability. Being willing to bend like the reed. You know, the reed that bends, not like the one that breaks and it's gone. Having been involved in landscaping and gardening for so long, I've seen time and time again trees that have been toppled over, and you think, you know, somebody else would say, I'll cut it down, it's no good. You just come back and you bring it up to true, and you stake it. You stake it properly, and then you let it go. You watch it. You repack the root ball, and you watch it, and you give it time. Maybe you have to amend the soil a little bit, make it stronger, get a little bit of fertilizer, some B1, you know, amend the soil. And then after a while, you go back, and you can take those stakes down, and that tree is stronger than it was. And you go, you wanted to cut it down. That tree's fine. So there may be times where you and I are blown over and somebody else says, get rid of him, he's no good. And the Lord says, no. You don't get rid of something just because it's been beat up a little. Right? If you've seen the movie Seabiscuit, you know what that's about. Seabiscuit had hurt his ankle. And what happens when a horse has a bad ankle? You put it out to pasture or you put it down. And the horse trainer said, don't you shoot that horse. Don't you beat that horse. You don't get rid of something just because it's been beat up a little. Man, I heard that line and I began to weep. First time I saw that movie, I'm like, oh, that is awesome. It just got me right here. You don't get rid of something just because it's been beat up a little. That's how the Father is with us. So, life's not fair, but in many respects it is. And with all of that, I just want to ask that that you all would continue to pray for Tammy and I, as we know that you do. And we don't know what the next step is. You know, we don't know where we're just going to stay here. I'm going to continue working out there at Water Country, and we're looking at different things for Tammy right now to see what the next step is in that respect. And just one step at a time. So there's a couple of irons in the fire, something that I've been contemplating and talking with a couple of you about, and it's kind of scary. I'm excited, but it's scary, and more to come on that issue as things develop. So with that, let's learn to be content in every situation. Father, I do thank you that you do not give up on us, that you don't throw us away just because we've been beat up a little bit. I am grateful, Lord, that you don't just pour out contentment upon us, that you don't just give it as a gift, but that you want to teach us. I thank you that you don't let us go through those things that we can't handle, but you give us just enough. You test us. You don't let us go through something that we can't bear. Even though we may fight, we may kick and scream and say, I can't take it anymore. You know what we can handle. And you allow us to go through it because you love us. Some things we go through because of the seeds that we've planted in our past. Some things we go through just because it's a part of life. I'm grateful that you are here, that you are our provider and our healer. I'm grateful that you've never left or forsaken. I ask that you would continue to have your way in my heart, in Tammy's heart, in our life together, within every person here, Lord. Help us to have our eyes focused on you and know the plans and the purpose that you have. That we were meant for more. Life is now. Life is happening right now. Not tomorrow or the next day, but right here, right now. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. A friend of ours, some of you may have met him. His name's Dan Wilt. He was a worship leader, author, runs worship, what is that? The worshiptraining.com. Part of the Vineyard teaching group. He had posted that as his status the other day, that life is happening right now. Don't wait for it. Happening right now, right here, right now, in this moment. Be in the moment. Don't wait for tomorrow or the next day. Take part right now. Get up to bat. It's your turn. So, if that that means something to you, take that with you today. So, God bless you all, and hopefully we'll see some of you Wednesday night. If not, we'll see you Sunday.